Sunday Dhamma Talk.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are considering life's highest blessings in Lord Buddha's Mangala Sutta. There are 38 lessons for life in 10 profound verses. An angel asked Lord Buddha to identify life's most fortunate strokes of luck, and he responded with the Mangala Sutta. The genius of his response was in recognizing that good fortune derives not from good luck, but from virtuous behavior based on the right wisdom. It is the practice of Dhamma that is truly auspicious. Thus, each verse details beneficial deeds or factors promoting such conduct. Last time we discussed three basic social responsibilities from the Singhala Vada Sutta, necessary to lead a peacefully happy life. First, supporting parents. Second, caring for spouse and children. And third, effecting faultless work. Parents must prevent their children from misconduct, teach and model good conduct, encourage kindness, provide education, and pass their inheritance to the children. In turn, children must support and cherish parents, provide them with life requisites, and carry on their good name, business, and properties. After their parents' death, children should make merit for them. Regarding married couples, the wife must run the household smoothly, distribute gifts fairly to relatives, refrain from sexual misconduct, maintain her husband's things orderly, and be skilled and diligent in her housework. In turn, the husband must be kind and attentive to his wife, not being insolent, refrain from sexual misconduct, give his wife authority in domestic matters, and provide her with clothing, ornaments, and gifts. The third teaching covered last time was effecting faultless work. In the narrow sense, this means conducting one's work commendably. In the broader sense, it means working in a way that does not bring any griefs to oneself or other beings. This implies avoiding unwholesome occupations, such as those involving weapons, poisons, intoxicants, human trafficking, such as prostitution, or raising animals for food.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pratrajanwita. Now, sir, what will we study today?
Today, we continue with verse 6 of the Mangala Sutta, which lists four more blessings or auspicious behaviors. First, generosity. Second, virtuous conduct. Third, helping relatives. And fourth, blameless actions. Dananca tamacariya ca yatakananca sangkaho anavacchani kammani etammang kalamuttamang. Generosity and virtuous conduct, helping relatives, and blameless actions. This is most auspicious. In this verse, Lord Buddha continued beyond required minimal social responsibilities to spontaneous personal benevolence and goodness. He begins with generosity and opposite of greed, then virtuous conduct based on Dhamma. Third comes helping relatives and finally blameless actions beyond the reach of gossip. Dana, or selfless generosity, lies at the heart of Buddhist practice as the first of the 10 perfections. Pure dana is characterized by three components: right intention in advance, remaining happy throughout the act of giving, and remaining happy about the giving, even after the act of dana is completed. There are three levels of dana. First is amisa dana, or giving things, most notably the necessities of life, to someone in need. It can include thoughtless, charitable donations, but is more personal, involving a degree of sacrifice. It means giving up something of your own to help someone else live better and find release from suffering. Second is Dhammadana, or sharing right teachings for mindfulness and better living with the right wisdom to recognize good versus bad and follow the virtuous way leading to long-term happiness and prosperity, avoiding deterioration and the ever-present highway to hell. Dhammadana also includes more mundane assistance with one's work and career based on virtuous principles. The third and highest level of dana is abhaya dana, forgiving another's bad behavior towards oneself and giving pardon without harboring vengefulness. The rewards of dana include human rebirth into a good, well-to-do family and continued well-being into middle age, as well as adequate support in old age. If a donor performs dana himself but does not urge others to do likewise, he will have no followers in future lifetimes. If he urges others to donate but does not do so himself, he will have followers but no wealth. But if he does both, he will have both wealth and followers. If he does not do either, he will be poor and alone, perhaps even a beggar. In idling pure dana, the donor is pure with selfless motivation. The recipients are also pure or striving for purity, and the object advice or dhamma offered is also pure. Pure dana like this offered to human beings who practice morality, sila, and meditation, bhavana, can produce rewards lasting over more than 100,000 lifetimes. Dana presented to those who know and teach dhamma brings rewards over 10 million lifetimes, and dana offered to those practicing to become noble disciples brings uncountable rewards.
Thank you very much, sir. Now, what can you point out for us about virtuous conduct?
Minimal virtuous conduct is following the five precepts to avoid killing, stealing, adultery, lying, and intoxication. Positive virtuous conduct is ardently pursuing the opposites with the divine abode or Brahma Vihara, mentality of loving kindness or metta, compassion karuna, sympathetic joy mudita, and equanimity upekha. The positive opposites are doing good and helping other beings to overcome suffering, avoiding wrongful occupations, practicing generosity, honesty, being true to one's partner, and carefully controlling sexual activity, and avoiding alcohol and drugs. Such behavior results in the immediate benefits of a stable, warm, loving family life, and well-adjusted children, a reputation for sincerity and reliability, good friends, and an expanding network of comrades and colleagues who hold more near and dear, as well as good physical and mental health with clear, bright consciousness and the right mindfulness to tell good from bad, understanding Dhamma, and forestalling physical and mental deterioration and contagious disease.
Thank you, sir. Now, what about helping relatives?
In our last broadcast, we detailed the reciprocal social responsibilities expected with the immediate family between parents and children and married couples. In brief, this included such items as providing loving care, life's requisites, education, and sound advice, as well as teaching correct behavior and maintaining the family reputation and property. Proactive virtuous conduct can expand some of these to the broader extended family. relatives should be among the first recipients of thoughtful gifts and good advice. When opportunity arises, one should also offer relatives loving care, fundamental requisites, and educational assistance beyond minimal expectations. Such behavior will strengthen family bonds, enhance one's reputation, and furnish mutual aid for reducing suffering.
Thank you again, sir. Now, what about the fourth blessing of blameless action?
Last time we discussed the blessing on effecting faultless work, which means both conducting one's work commendably and doing work that does not bring any grief to yourself or to any other beings. This means, for example, avoiding unwholesome occupations such as dealing in weapons, poisons, or intoxicants. The blessing of blameless actions broadens this concept to include actions outside the workplace and to include borderline actions which are not evilly intended but can still foster gossip. Here, appearance count beyond actual intentions. The 227 precepts for monks include many rules that aim at preventing such appearance and avoiding any excuse for gossip. Thus, for example, there are rules against being alone with a woman, passing something directly to or from women, having a bhikkhuni who is not a relative watch an old robe, or accepting a robe from a bhikkhuni except in exchange. For laymen, similar counsel might include avoiding regular visit to spinsters and widows, showering such women with gifts, etc. One must consider not only the actual intention, but also what criticisms it might raise in the mind of others and what gossip might ensue. Avoiding any such behavior is practicing blameless action.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pratrajan Wiset. We deeply appreciate your insight. Now would you please lead us in a few moments of meditation?
Today, we will begin by requesting the five precepts first, and then continue on to meditation.
Mayang Pante, Wisim Wusung Rakanataya, De Saranena, Saha Banja Silaniya Jama, Tutiambi Mayang Pante, Wisung Wisung Rakanataya, De Saranena Saha Banja Silaniya Jama, Datiambi Mayang Pante, Wisung Wisung Rakanataya, De saranena saha banja silani yaja ma.
Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa.
Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa.
Buddhang saranang kacchami.
Buddhang saranang kacchami.
Dhammang saranang kacchami.
Dhammang saranang kacchami.
Sanghang saranang kacchami.
Sanghang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi buddhang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi buddhang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi dhammang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi dhammang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi sanghang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi sanghang saranang kacchami.
Datiyampi buddhang saranang kacchami.
Datiyampi buddhang saranang kacchami.
Datiyampi dhammang saranang kacchami.
Datiyampi dhammang saranang kacchami.
ตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ตัตติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ตัตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ตัตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ปานาติปาตาเวระมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ
ปานาติปาตาเวระมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิI undertake the precept to refrain from destroying living creatures.
Athinna thana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami.
Athinna thana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given.
Kamesu micchacara veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami
Kamesu micchacara veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami
I undertake the precept to refrain from unlawful sexual activity
Musavata veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami
Musavataเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ
I undertake the precept to refrain from incorrect speech
สุราเมรยะมัชฌะปมาทัฏฐานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ
สุราเมรยะมัชฌะปมาทัฏฐานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ
I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating drinks and drugs which lead to carelessness.
Imani pancha sikha patani silena sukhating yanti
Sathu
silena poka sampatha
Sathu
silena nipputing yanti tatsama silang viso thaye
Sathu
Prostrate three timesTo the Buddha statue, if available. Now, we begin meditation. We sit upright in a regular meditation posture, cross-legged, as seen in some Buddha images, with the right leg resting upon the left, the right hand rests on the left, palm turned upwards.With the right index finger just touching the left thumb, the body is straight and the mind is fully alert. Take a deep breath and relax the body until you feel comfortable. Close your eyelids lightly. Do not press them. We use two aids, a mantra, Samma Arahang, and an object of visualization, a bright,clear luminous sphere called the Aloka Kasinja or light object. Using these aids, we draw the mind inward to the center of the body and the mind, components of vision, memory, thought and awareness come together into oneness. Imagine a bright clear luminous sphere located at the center of the body, 2 inches or 5 centimeters above the navel. Rest your mind inside the sphere and repeat Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang continually and mindfully. Look for the pinpoint of bright light at the center of the center. Focus your mind there. Stop still. When the mind stops perfectly still,At the center of the center expands itself and becomes a new sphere. Place your mind gently inside the new sphere. Look for the pinpoint of bright light at the center of the center. Place your mind there. Stop still. Eventually, a bright clear sphere will arise. This is the Dhamma sphere. Do not be overjoyed. Keep your mind calm.And equanimity. Hold the mind still and stop repeating Samma Arahang. Just concentrate at the center of Dhamma sphere. This is your own nucleus, which gives rise to this body and this mind. You choose experience, the greatest happiness you have ever known, not happiness based on an external object, but happiness arising from within. Due to being fully pure from the five hindrances, continue meditating as before by stopping still at the center of the center of the Dhamma sphere. When the concentration is just right, the sphere of the sphere pops up by itself from the center. Each one inside the previous one, the spheres of sila or moral behavior, samadhi or concentration, panya or wisdom, vimutti or transcendence, and vimuttiyan tasana or insight appear one after the next. Enter each sphere successively and focus your mind still at the pinpoint of the bright light or hollow spot at the center. When the mind stops still, a new sphere emerges. When you reach the inside sphere, you continue in the same way, stopping still at the center. Again, the center expands itself, but this time, instead of a new sphere, you see a round, refined human body, sitting cross-legged in meditating position, facing the same direction as you are facing. Don't be startled. Just keep observing. It looks very much like yourself. It has your own face, but it is brighter, purer, and more radiant. It may even be crystal clear. Take your time to make the body and its pedestal bright and clear. When you feel comfortable with the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the refined human body. Expand to feel the whole body. Feel the body from the inside. Feel the arms, feel the legs, feel the head and the toes. Say to yourself, I am the refined human body. I have become the refined human body. I have the refined human mentality. When you feel comfortable inside the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the sphere at the center of the refined human body. Focus on the pinpoint of the bright light at the center of the center. The center expands itself, and you see your celestial body. For those who reach this state of mind, go on with the same procedure. As larger and larger, more and more radiant bodies appear, becomes each more refined body, one by one, until you reach Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya looks like a transparent Buddha statue, very radiant, very pure. The Buddha statue, sitting cross-legged, is about 9 meters in height and width. Become Dhammakaya fully, right way. And now let us share all of the merit that we have made in this meditation and previously together, with all of our loving-kindness, with all beings everywhere throughout the universe. We share with our parents, our grandparents, our family, our teachers, and our friends. We share with our king and our queen, and the whole royal family. May Lord Buddha bless all of us to lead a peaceful, happy life, free from suffering, free from problems, and free from enmity. And may this meditation help to bring us closer to transcendence and nirvana. And now, we come slowly out of meditation and open the eyes.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pratrajan Wisit. We reverently appreciate your excellent meditation instruction.
May Lord Buddha bless all of you. We would like to invite you all to join us for meditation at Wat Lumphat Sut any Sunday. Our bus leaves from Watsakit, the Golden Mount Temple, at 7 o'clock every Sunday morning. I lead morning chanting and meditation for all, beginning at 9:30, and Prabhat conducts an afternoon meditation session in English from 12 to 2 p.m. please come join us. For details, please see our English website at www.meditationpark.org or en.dhammakaya.org or our Thai website at dhammakaya.org.
Sunday, Tama Talk.